This is a previously recorded episode.
Welcome to the Cassie Sobelton Show. This is a podcast focused on mind, body, and spirit wellness. I'm your host, Cassie Sobelton, a best-selling author, speaker, and wellness expert. You can find me online at CassieSobelton.com. Each week, we'll dive into a different wellness topic with a focus on teaching you how to achieve wellness realistically. No lofty goals, no over-the-top crazy diets. This is wellness for the real world. Just practical, easy suggestions and ways to improve your life. Thank you for listening. Now onto the show.
My house in Budapest, my hidden treasure chest, golden grand piano, my beauty focus, EOU. Ooh, ooh, I'd leave it all.
On this week's edition, I am talking to Natalia Petrasak. Natalia is the founder and CEO of Visby, an online motivational goal-setting and visualization program. Natalia was the winner of Startup Week in Detroit and the Up Global Startup Battle of 2013. She's a certified life coach, published journalist, and on-air talent. Welcome, Natalia.
Hey, Cassie. So great to be here with you.
So good to have you here. I'm excited to dive into today's topic.
Yeah.
So you're the visualization person. I mean, That's what I think of when I think of you.
Yeah, and it's funny because it came out of a need for myself to visualize. So I just kind of immersed myself. The more I learned about it, the more I couldn't get enough of the topic. And now I guess I'm a pseudo expert.
Yeah,
there's people that know a lot more than I do. But
right.
I know now, I've studied it for so long that I have a lot to share.
So where did you first start studying it? Did you stumble upon it with Law of Attraction?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I, you know, like many people, saw The Secret back in 2006 and 7 or whenever it was. And I know it's their 10-year it's 10-year anniversary.
Oh my
and the reason
God.
I know that is because they contacted me. But
really? For what? Tell us.
Well,
let us be the first to know. Are you going to be on
getting
The
way
Secret
ahead of
too?
Way ahead of myself. No, I mean, they heard about us once we won some of the contests.
Awesome.
And you know, there's a potential that we could work together in the future.
Okay. Can we just take a moment and visualize that?
Yeah.
Visualize
I know. Right?
You with
Let's practice what we preach.
Yeah, that's right. You with, Hicks.
Oh, Abraham Hicks.
No, but, the gal, the woman who does all the channeling of Abraham Hicks.
Oh, Esther.
Esther. Thank you. You and Esther on stage together. I can see it right now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I would love that.
Me too.
She's also been a mentor of mine. I mean, to answer your question, I, like most people, kind of was introduced to the Law of Attraction, which is essentially really basic principle of what you focus on the most, like your thoughts and your vibrational state, what you're thinking, where you're at any moment is attracting things around you.
Yeah.
The premise is that we're a part of the universe. No one's separate from it. Nothing is separate from it. And so it's really just unveiling this supposed truth, this law. It's like the law of gravity. This isn't like a sometimes thing. This is an all-the-time thing. And the first time I heard it, I was like, holy crap, what am I thinking about all day? Like most people.
Your mind's going on.
Yeah. And a lot of times you're focused on problems or things that bother you or what you don't have.
Right.
And the first time I heard about it, I remember I was living in Chicago and I walked to work at the time. And I just remember even thinking, man, my walk at work, I'm worried about the work day ahead of me. I'm worried.
Right.
And it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I realized that I had to really start to shift the way I look and think of things. So, and visualization is a complement to that. So thinking, obviously what you're thinking, what you're saying, and then visualizing that end goal is, you know, it has to become a new habit and it's not easy.
It's not. Shifting your thinking around that and this idea of lack and turning that into a positive instead of a negative. So what I mean by that is, you know, many of us, let's say we want to visualize, you know, financial success or romantic success, whatever it is. Let's say it's finances because that's concrete and everyone can understand that. It's very hard for a lot of people, I think, until they train their brain to be able to focus on thinking about finances without the lack piece.
Yep. And that's and a lot of it stems from childhood development
that's
stuff.
Right.
And so I come from an immigrant family. My parents are immigrants. And everyone worked very hard. My grandparents, my parents worked very, very hard, long hours. And so we always had enough to eat and enough shelter. We weren't living in a really abundant state. We didn't have excess, but we always had the basics covered. However, I was raised in a household where you had to work really, really hard to just get enough.
Totally.
And so I've when I first learned about this, and this is through courses I've taken thereafter, I was like, wow, this is where my abundance level is at. It's that I'll always have enough, but I have to work really, really,
right.
really hard. And guess what? You can actually work smart.
Right.
Instead of really hard and make a lot of money.
Yep.
So I've had to really work on that for myself. And a lot of people have to identify and look at what their blocks are. And it usually stems from your childhood experiences, mm-hmm. but other things could have influenced it. So if it is love, if it is health and wellness based, you know, losing weight, but you grew up in a surrounding where, you know, people ate a certain way or did certain things and didn't exercise, well, it's no wonder.
Right.
You have a block.
I love when people tell me it's genetics. And this whole idea of we turn genes on or off, and if we live like our parents, yeah, we're going to turn on the exact same genes.
Right.
But if you start living differently, you can turn off those genes.
Absolutely.
You can stop those diseases from manifesting.
Yeah.
You know?
Everyone holds their own power, their own keys.
Right.
And it's a little overwhelming to think about the fact that we have that much power. But it's
right.
That's
huge. I don't know if I've told you this, but I wrote so I went on retreats. And let me think. Over the New Year.
Yeah.
And,
quite jealous of you.
Yeah. The ashram. I went down to an ashram in the Bahamas. It was wonderful. But I came up with my next book. And I had like this
awesome.
Download of my outline. So I put it together, sent it off to the publisher, already in the works. Super excited about it. But I don't know if this is going to be the title, but the whole idea around it is taking your power back.
Yep.
Because we give away our power so much. Mm-hmm. We think things are happening to us in life when in fact we're creating them.
That's right.
We just don't realize how we're creating them.
And I, you know, if there's anything I always want to underscore to the masses, it's that it is a habit. It is a working, it's mm-hmm. a work in progress. Like I've studied this. I've made my life and living around it now. And I still catch myself days where I'm focusing on what I don't want. And I have to catch myself. And I'm thinking,
right.
man, if I'm so committed to this process and I still find myself, and it's just like working out. It's just like anything else that's good for you. You're going to go through ebbs and flows. And you're going to have days where you're really on point and days where you're not. And that's okay. It's just understanding that it's a long-term commitment. It's a lifestyle choice.
Right. You know, one of my favorite things about meditation and one of the first things I learned in meditation was to watch my thoughts. And until then, I didn't even know all these thoughts were happening and they were controllable. I really just thought my brain did its thing. And, you know, I never even noticed the fact that there's thoughts rolling. So until I started to learn to be quiet, to sit with my eyes shut and start to watch this, I started seeing this stream of thoughts. And sometimes there's many going at once. And other times there's just one thought here or there. But what was really nice about that was to be able to first identify I have thoughts. Secondly, start to disassociate from those thoughts. So I was able to say, okay, that thought's happening, but that's not me. And that's not my life. And that's actually something I can change. And then third was seeing a pattern there. So are my thoughts always about a lack of something? Are they always looking to the negative? Or are they always looking to the positive and the happy? And really, that determines my entire life.
Yep.
And I think that's what so many people really benefit at the beginning, especially from meditation, is being able to see their thoughts. So when you just said, you know, I notice every now and then I have these bad thoughts or every day or whatever, you know, that's only when we notice.
Right.
The crazy thing is there's so much happening that we don't notice or it's so subconscious.
Your subconscious is already developed and it's mm-hmm. been developed and it's constantly being influenced. So this is, to me, the vision board and the visualization is your opportunity to take the reins back because you're getting influenced by society, mm-hmm. by advertisers,
right.
by, you know, all these
every
other
person around you.
And that's why when your book is reclaiming the power because
right.
the power is within you, but you are still very much immersed in a lot of things that are influencing you, but you have the ability to, you know, kind of rise above it and start to control those circumstances to the best of your ability. And, you know, so I absolutely agree. And not only noticing your thoughts, but noticing your emotions. Like
right.
I was recently in a business meeting and it wasn't going the way I thought at the very end. And I could feel myself getting flush. I felt myself tensing up. And you know, now that I've become a practitioner of these things like mindfulness, meditation, visualization, I stopped. And in the past, I probably would have just let those emotions almost take over and start to control my reactions. But because mm-hmm. I've become more aware, I said, okay, what am I feeling right now? What am I experiencing? And how, you know, and I'm not these things, like you said.
Right.
I am not this emotion. I'm experiencing this, and how can I level myself out take this down a notch and respond in a more, you know, productive way.
Right.
I have not mastered this. It's like a, like I said, a lifestyle commitment. But yeah, there's power to it.
There really is. Yeah, I love that. I don't know if any of us will ever master it. And that's the whole point of being here on this earth, to walk through these lessons, you know, and constantly keep upgrading what we're learning. So on the topic of vision boards, visualizing these things, can you tell me a little bit about Visby?
Sure. And thank you so much for having me and asking. It's an online vision board program. So really, for people that are watching the video, most people that have heard of a vision board, it's fundamentally associating visual images to your end goals. And it's supposed to help act as a reminder. As we talk about, this becomes a practice in your life. So it's supposed to help act as a reminder in the old-fashioned way. What people have done to date is they find pictures through magazines or online. They cut them out and they put them on a poster board. And this could be your dream body. So let's say you want to do more yoga and eat really healthy and have the best version of your body. You might have a picture of something that emulates that. Or let's say I actually, on my vision board, I just checked something off my vision board last week, and I can't tell you how amazing it feels to do that.
So you do you take it off completely once you achieve it?
I'm going to, and that's the ease of my product. But I had a picture of snorkeling. I'd never been snorkeling before.
Really?
And
where'd you go?
In Mexico.
Maybe in the Detroit River?
Yeah, in the Detroit River. It was a luxurious experience.
Right.
No, I mean, I went to Mexico and found a Groupon last minute deal. And
gotta love Groupon.
And it's
international.
Here. I have my little snorkeling picture. And now
nice,
that I can
see,
check that off, it's right on the upper right hand corner.
Oh, very cool.
And so, really, the vision board process is associating images to your goals. It could be your dream house, your dream body, your dream, you fill in the blank. Mm-hmm. And it's identifying a visual, you know, it's creating your own ad for your life versus being told from corporations what you should want and buy. You get to define it, you get to create your own visualization of your future. And most people keep this vision board up in their office or home. And so, I found, you know, entrepreneurship is about finding a need and filling it. So I remember it was a couple years ago, I had a bunch of girlfriends that were complaining about needing to upgrade and redo their vision board. They're like, oh, I made mine 3 years ago. It's outdated, but I got to commit a whole day.
It's a lot of work.
Go to the store, find magazines, do all this. And I'm thinking, gosh, it's 2000, whatever, 13 at the time. I'm like, isn't there a more productive and easier way to do this? And it really got my wheels turning. I did some research. There are tools out there. There are some apps out there, but none of them, you know, struck a chord with me. None of them were very sophisticated. And so really the first iteration was to take this old-fashioned vision board and create an e-commerce store. And that's still in the works for us, where you can print your vision board to a host of end products like your coffee mug or
I love
canvas,
it.
You know, so that it's more flexible and, or you know, around you at all times. And, you know, what we've created in the short term is this digital solution. So, you know, we have a curated image library. We have tons of images that you can search. You can search beach vacation, dream car, but you can also upload your own images, create any type of digital output. So it's, you know, your phone screensaver or your iPad or
That's
computer
so amazing.
Screensaver.
How often do you look at your screensavers?
Average, I found an average person looks at their phone 150 times a day.
That's right. So that's where it should be, not hanging on a poster in your bedroom that you might see 2 minutes before you go to bed.
It's subconsciously there. And I really want to do things like texting and having more interface. And I've actually talked to a potential prospect / maybe investor in the future that's really excited about augmented reality. So how we can make these things more three-dimensional or do things like, you know, putting it on the wall when you wake up, things like that.
Nice.
To take it to the next level.
You should talk to Fathead. Fathead?
I'm actually working with Fathead, so
Perfect.
That's weird you said that. Yeah,
see,
I just
must
had
be emitting it. It's like an antenna.
I was like, did I tell you that?
No.
So one of my clients is with a Dan Gilbert company, and the Fathead company is within his family of companies. So we have some of their employees working on this. So I've been working now with corporations to have employees set these vision boards and goals. And so the final part of the technology we have is this really exciting visualization part. But then we also have practical goal setting that complements it. So really, a vision board is only as good as you kind of make efforts towards it. So we have a smart goal setting guided, really simple tool that helps you set clear goals, due dates, and then you can invite accountability partners. So this
I love that.
Yeah. So this could be a coach. This could be your sister. This could be your wife. This could be someone at work.
Wait. So let's talk about that for a second, because I really believe with multiple people holding the same vision, it's going to manifest quicker.
Yeah, there's some sort of term that I don't remember it, but it starts with an M. It's almost like Mahajari or some sort of Mahatari, something effect.
Not the Maharishi.
Maharishi, maybe.
Maharishi Institute, that's the Ayurvedic, you know, like, no.
Well, anyways, there's some sort of study shows that, that people that all focus on the same thing at the same time, it's like co-manifestation.
That's right, yeah.
So there's something even more – the only thing more powerful than yourself tuning in your own thoughts and controlling your thoughts and thinking about things that you want positively is doing it in concert with someone else multiple people.
So – and I know we've done them together, but every single month for about 20 years – almost every month. I may have missed two a year, let's say. I've done new moon parties. And I do these mostly with girlfriends, few guys here and there. Guys think we're nuts and it's fine. They think we're doing some like witch dance, which sometimes we might. But typically we all sit around and we manifest because on the new moon is when we invite new things into our life. Very much like the moon affects the tide of the ocean, it also affects us. Yep. And there are rhythms as to when the universe will give, you know, will open up. So doing that, you know, holding a group of really powerful women who are, you know, can understand manifestation, asking everyone to go around the room and come up with their top idea. And please, all of us, let's take 30 seconds and all of us envision, let's say, Cassie in the perfect relationship or Natalia with the perfect customer or Renee with this, you know, these types of things.
Yep.
And doing that is so powerful and I really believe brings it.
I think a person, you know, usually you have a friend or a spouse and what you do is you debrief at the end of the day and you bitch for sorry for like no, you know two,
$1 in
word.
The swear jar. We have a swear jar,
but you complain about what went wrong that day, and sometimes you do need a vent, right? I mean, I'm not saying there, especially it depends on the gravity of the situation. Now, why don't you switch that though? Mm-hmm. And I do this with one of my girlfriends where we just talk about our craziest, wildest dreams we want to happen, as opposed to complaining or focusing on what we don't have or the typical thing.
You're good at that. When we're together, you'll say, "So what's your biggest?" Desire or dream.
Yeah, I mean, because like I want people to focus on what, exactly. Let's get excited though. Yeah. So really that's the other biggest takeaway anyone's listening to is not only visualizing it, but getting in the emotional state as if you're there already. The more you can elevate your excitement levels and really feel it as becoming a reality in your life, that's the real magic sauce. Right. It's not only defining it and seeing it and focusing on it as much as you can, but it's connecting to it, emotionally connecting to it. And I say if you can find a partner in your life that you can spend a half hour a week, make a commitment where you guys schedule it out and you say, it's our co-manifestation time. And you guys just talk for a half hour about what it is you want in life and how exciting it already. Act as if it's yours, you know. And I've done this with my friend and she, you know, she's actually manifested through talking to me. Like, and it's crazy within like a week or two later even sometimes, the reality that she projected to me.
Yeah, because how often do we verbalize that?
Exactly.
You keep it inside.
How often do you even think about it, let alone you might think about it, but it'll be passing. Like you might have a moment where you're sitting in a plane or a car and you go there and you daydream and you have that dream job interview or you have some sort of dream daydream in your brain. But to make it a habit and make it a part of your life and you know, so I think building an accountability partner is genius because oftentimes we get too busy and we get caught in our ruts in our own ways. So when you have that external commitment and accountability in place, it helps you stay the course.
I agree completely. So let's talk for a quick minute because I know we're going to run out of time here soon, but about the idea that when you're looking to manifest something, not to get too caught up in the weeds on how you're going to get there.
Yeah, I mean, I know. It's like, oh, rule number one. rule number one is really to define it and get excited about it and then just – kind of release it. It's such a crazy like, so I want you to do all this, getting really clear about it and get excited about it and take some action steps. You know, obviously if it is, you know, losing weight or eating more healthy, it's getting some sort of connection or action plan around it, but then just know that it's going to happen and kind of release how it happens. I mean, it's a oxymoron on some levels, but that's the yin and yang in life is really trying, but also releasing at the same time. It's this weird juxtaposition.
It is. And I think a lot of people get caught up in that piece right there.
Yeah.
They have a very hard time of letting go. I read a book once and I wish I could remember the name of it because it was a very good book about manifestation. It was a large book. And I remember them saying it's very much like a computer program. So if you think about a computer and you pull up all your different programs, let's say Microsoft Word and Outlook and Excel and whatever. When you keep a program up, it thinks that it has been fulfilled, right? So it thinks that it's being used, it's been fulfilled, and those types of things. But if you close a program down, very much like the mind and manifesting, if you close a program down, it'll allow it just to go to work and know that it hasn't been fulfilled because it's not open and running. But if you're constantly thinking about this, it's like you're keeping it open and running, and yep. the universe thinks, okay, it's been fulfilled. I don't have to worry about this. But the whole point of putting it out there is to attract it back to us.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the subconscious brain is neutral like a computer. So it's just taking at face value what
totally.
You present to it. So
yeah.
if you're focusing on your stresses, it's like, okay, I'm supposed to be stressed.
Yep.
If you're focusing on your desires, like, oh, and that's what it's tied to motivation and habit forming and stuff. So just remember that your subconscious brain is there at your mercy. It's there. It's absolutely neutral.
Yep.
If you want to focus on negativity, it's going to respond to the negativity.
Mm-hmm. So what is something someone could do today? Let's say they're listening and they are realizing that they have this pattern. They have a pattern of maybe negativity or always thinking about the things that are bad. What is something they could do quickly to shift that? And
yeah, well, and I think noticing is one of the first things mm-hmm. is just being aware of those patterns. For me personally, I will stop myself and take a deep breath and try to redirect. I use anything. It depends what's where I'm at. I might be music. Sometimes I'll actually just put some good music on to reshift my energy levels.
Yeah. I like to skip. I think you cannot be unhappy when you are skipping.
Right.
Try it. I swear to God. Yeah. I make some of my friends when they go into a bad place, get up and skip. And they're like, you're not going to make me. I'm like, yes, I am. Get up and skip.
Yeah.
And they always get happy.
Yeah. I mean, so it depends. If it's at night and you have free time, you can skip. You can music, you know, go to YouTube channels that get, you know, if I notice myself in a negative place, you know, sometimes it's that easy. I've used something called tapping,
mm-hmm.
and this is
yes,
if I'm in a really bad place.
Yeah.
I don't use that unless I'm really feeling stressed out. But that's emotional freedom technique. You can look it up online. That's tapping.
We've talked about
on
other shows.
And,
yep, going through.
So if I'm
so
really stressed out, and I know, and I'm like, crap, I am in a really bad place, I will use EFT to shift me out of it.
It works.
It works for
really
me. It
works.
Does.
Yeah.
I, you know, I only depend on it when I'm, you know, really stressed out. But that's so the EFT. But you know, it's really just catching yourself. And if it's not a bad thing, if it's not too crazy of a bad thought, you know, it might be just music or taking a mm-hmm. few deep breaths and just purposely shifting to what's going to make me happy. What can I think about that excites me versus what's stressing me out?
Well, and lastly, going to VSBE and making a vision board and keeping
so
it on your phone.
Yeah, we have a free version. So, you know, please, VSBE.co, just sign up.
So VIZBE.co.
Yep, and that comes from Become Your Vision, VSBE.
I love that. This is perfect. Thank you so much for being here, Natalia.
Thanks, Cassie, for having me, and best of luck with all you're doing. Wonderful stuff.
Thank you, likewise. Thank you for listening to the Cassie Sobelton Show. I hope you heard at least one easy health upgrade on today's show that you can immediately implement into your life. Remember, over time, implementing small health upgrades will make a big difference in your health. Don't forget to follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Cassie Sobelton. For more information or to hire me as a speaker or wellness consultant, please visit CassieSobelton.com. See you next week.
This is a previously recorded episode.